Previously on Talking Trash.
I glanced at the 80s in Roger Corman's Career of the 80s. I grabbed a couple of titles that just stuck out to me. I don't know what these movies are. We can talk about what are these movies. What do we think these movies are? I just want to ask you, because you said Streetwalking jumped out at you. You saw a hooker and you saw Streetwalking and that jumped out to you. Now, here's what jumped out to me, because that's how we pick these movies. These are the ones that picked out and jumped out to me. Let's talk about them.
Now it's garbage.
Just another movie night.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to the show. We are Just Another Movie Night, and I am Scott.
And I'm Joe.
And today we are talking trash.
Talking trash.
Talking trash indeed. This is our show to review, spoil, debate, crap on, and give second chances to the hated, the lowest rated, and the much debated and often forgotten flicks on the internet, all while asking the question, is this the worst movie ever made? And if not, what is? Because here on the show, we can't... I screwed that up. Because here on the show, we believe you can't truly review a movie unless you know what the worst is. So, talking trash. Here we are. Well, this is the month where we started doing a little joke where, flashing back to an episode, a couple episodes we did on Roger Corman month of a few months back, and we joked around on one of the episodes that, why didn't you pick some of the, you picked a whole bunch of movies for the month.
Yeah.
And I said, well, there's some titles from that decade that sound amazing. And you guessed what those episodes were.
What the episodes were?
Oh, well, I'm sorry. You guessed what the movies were about by the titles. We didn't know anything about the movies. And we decided to watch those movies after you guessed what those movies were all about for fun.
Okay, so what did I guess the plot of this one was?
So we're going to listen to it now. We're going to play a little audio from your guess on what this movie was about.
And what's this movie called?
Oh my gosh, you're right. I didn't do anything. I didn't set this up properly at all.
No. You failed.
I'm messing up a lot because my microphone's giving me trouble. We're talking about Summer Camp Nightmare.
Summer Camp Nightmare. What started as a summer of fun?
Oh, come on. Anybody can cross that thing.
Oh, yeah?
Became a nightmarish game.
I'll do it if you'll do it.
In this camp, kids won't just be kids. They'll be killers.
Some of us have been talking and we've decided to take over the camp. From now on, you do exactly as I say. Do you understand?
Summer Camp Nightmare.
1986 Summer Camp Nightmare.
This is produced by Roger.
Do you want me to go through the whole run and then play the clip, or do you want me to...
No, just play the fucking clip. I just want our people to know what we're talking about. Summer Camp Nightmare.
Well, actually, it was going to be the lead-in with the audio, but you told me to...
Oh, okay.
Well, whatever. Let's play this clip.
All right, Summer Camp Nightmare.
Ooh, okay, this sounds like something I would love.
Yeah, right, and that's why I can't believe these didn't jump out. All of these titles, I cannot believe didn't jump out at you.
Okay, well, we gotta watch that.
Summer Camp Nightmare.
All right, well, this is what I think. All right, so there's a boy that's picked on a lot, and, you know, he's a little overweight, and he's, you know, kind of antisocial because he's a little shy, and he gets picked on. But he takes his sweet revenge by beating the crap out of his entire cabin, like all his cabin mates, when they're asleep, and just starts beating the crap out of all of them. And that's what I think that's about.
Okay.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Let's go with that.
Okay.
Oh my God.
Wow. The plot was the shortest of the guesses that you have made on the show this month.
I just stopped thinking at that moment.
Yeah, that one was like, okay, let's just get out of this.
I didn't want to say it was a slasher or something like that.
What I love is that you thought it was like one kid and the whole movie was about him beating up his bunkmates.
Well, he beat up the bunkmates and then, you know, he took revenge on the rest of the camp because they were making fun of him.
Okay.
I don't know. It was a rough one. I think I was just maybe tired and I couldn't think of a good plot.
Well, some of the other ones, you actually casted them and everything.
Oh, so. I did, yeah. It's a Frankie Avalon for one, didn't
Edward
I?
James Olmos.
Yeah.
Okay, so yeah, today we are talking about 1986 Summer Camp Nightmare. It was an hour and 29 minutes. It's PG-13. It has a 5.3 on IMDb from only 976 reviewers. The tagline for this movie is, "Dear Mom, the camp director is dead. The counselors are locked up, and the kids are out of control. Having a wonderful time. Love, Melvin."
Who the fuck is Melvin?
Melvin does not exist in this film. What a tagline that is. It's like a mouthful. It's not even a tagline. It's supposed to be, like, clever.
I mean...
Yeah.
Okay.
All right, this was written and directed by Burt L. Dragon. He was the writer and director of The Turd Twice Dead. That's the only other movie he made.
Huh.
Yep. It stars Chuck Connors. You know, the classic bad movie night all-star. They're from movies such as Soylent Green, Old Yeller. I always say Old Yeller. Like, that's the name of the movie.
You don't know how to pronounce anything. It's Old Yeller.
I know it's Yeller. I was just going to correct myself, woman. And you know what? How dare you? How dare you attack me verbally?
It's my job to correct you.
I feel hurt.
Oh, but I love you.
Yeah, he's just got a bunch of classics. Like Tourist Trap. And the classic movie that I think we need to revisit for this podcast, Terror Squad. I don't know if you remember this, but I actually put up I made a super cut, put to Benny Hill's Yakety Sax music of just the car chases, because the car chases are an hour long. It's unfucking believable.
We're not going to be revisiting that one.
Are you sure? It's it's amazing.
Not. And for the record, I did not mind Tourist Trap. I think I like
it. Tourist Trap is great.
Yeah, I like
it's good. It's great in like a bad, I don't know. It's
so bad it's good. Yeah, I don't really think it's that bad.
I know, it's debatable. That's a conversation right there. It's also starring a whole bunch of other actors, and I don't know, I have a list here of all of these people. Do you want to talk about them as we talk about the movie?
Yeah, let's get into plot.
I have a lot.
Okay.
So yeah, this movie, now that you heard your clip of what you thought, to what we actually got. Now, I know you very well, and I'm surprised you said a kid who's bullied beats up all of his bunkmates, and that was the movie, because it sounded like when you heard the name, especially when you were excited to watch this night, you said, well, the way that you reacted to me said you thought this was a horror film.
I think I did.
Yeah.
I thought it was going to be like a slasher. Or something like there's a murderer.
I mean, the name Summer Camp Nightmare does sound like that.
Yeah, but you know, it's very deceiving because the plot of this movie for the characters in this movie is not a nightmare. It's actually a party time, but it's a nightmare it's a nightmare for the camp counselors.
I would say it's a nightmare for a lot of the campgoers.
Yeah, some of them. Yeah. Not all of them. They were all having a good time.
I don't think they were at one point.
Huh. All right. Well.
Well, I guess we'll talk about it. Since on this show, we rip apart these movies, we discuss them out. So the plot of this film is so simple. This is an easy one to talk about tonight. Because we virtually just have we start with like a bunch of kids going to camp on buses. They're singing.
All boys.
Yeah, we got a whole, this is, it's like two or three buses just of boys.
Mm-hmm.
Different ages.
all going to camp. What's the name of this place?
Attention campers. Welcome to Camp North Pines.
I know.
Camp Dilliwack.
It's north and south. I know that.
Wait. North? No. I don't know.
I know. How do we not know it? They said it so many times.
I feel like it's whack something. No, north?
Hacky sack? Whackin' sack?
I don't know.
Well, anyways, it doesn't matter. It's north.
8.5 hours on a bus. Might as well be going to the moon.
Camp North Pines must be really north.
Because we know this because in the movie we find out that south is the women's camp.
Yeah.
Which is, that's interesting that they're even that close to each other.
Yeah, they're just across a bridge.
North Pines. So we're at camp.
You know what I'm thinking of? Arawak. I'm thinking of Arawak.
Of course. So we're at Camp North Pines, and we are slowly introduced to our characters. In the only way to describe this movie, the way it started, is like it's meatballs. Like everybody's like, yeah, and they're playing, they're all singing. We actually have a guy playing a guitar to a bunch of kids and singing a song about how great it is to be at North Pines.
Attention campers, welcome to North Pines, where we got lots of soul and rock and roll and wild time. Yeah, a summertime celebration.
Yeah, I mean, I think they set that up because they know that they wanted to start out with like a wholesome vibe. Wee, everyone's at summer camp. This is going to be a hoot. And then it's going to turn into something terrible.
Yeah, and I just, what I love about the guy playing the guitar, by the way, this actor's name is Doug Toby. He plays Manuel in this movie. He was in Red Dawn. He's one of the main Red Dawn group of, you know,
he is?
Wolverines. Yeah.
Oh, you know who he looks
aardvark.
Like? He looks like Ricky Martin when he was in Menudo.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, he does. He was so cute.
He's like the rare one in Red Dawn, the one of the Wolverines that never did a lot. Hmm. Everybody else in that movie is so famous.
Oh, I don't remember.
Yeah, I mean, that's a huge cast. He's the one that, for some reason, didn't... I mean, he went to Summer Camp Nightmare, so... he's singing, but what I love about this scene is that the kids are real. There's three kids surrounding him, like, yeah.
They're digging it. They're digging song.
I'm into this
song.
You know,
it's like, you gotta love these 80s camp films. Yeah. I mean, these kids, they're just... They're just like in their ball hammock shorts. They all have the same shorts.
So true.
And the same goddamn haircuts.
Yeah.
And it's just like such a cliche now that's like, you know, you're going to, if you see an 80s camp movie, they're all going to be wearing the same shit. But there's always this one kid that's wearing cut off denim shorts.
Always one kid.
You know that?
Yeah.
There's always one.
Yep.
And we meet one in this movie, and he's the worst.
All right, well, are you talking about the two friends in the famous band?
What was Beef it? Bologna?
No, that's the name of their song.
Oh.
The Horn Dogs.
Oh,
with their hit song, Beef Bologna.
The group of guys have been working for a long, long time. I think you're going to find them fine as wine. There's good for you as a morning jog. So put your hands together for the Horn Dogs.
Yes, Beef Bologna, when they play guitars that aren't plugged in.
I'm guessing you're talking about these two gentlemen.
Yes. He has like, okay, I've seen both of these people before.
Oh, God, yeah.
So we meet, what are they?
Okay.
Crunk Hold and, on. Wait, it's Crunk and Bobby?
There's so many. This one guy is named Stanley Runk.
Oh, Runk.
And he is known as Runk the Punk.
Runk the Punk.
Yes, okay, he's played by Stuart Rogers from the movie Vamps. And his friend, and I gotta find this,
this
guy.
This is the kid with the denim cutoff shorts with the freaking...
John Mason.
His stuff is being like squeezed like a freaking orange in a goddamn like orange juice maker.
You definitely know this actor.
I do know him.
His Tom Fridley. He's playing John Mason in this film, or John. Mason. Uh-huh. He is known for Friday the 13th Part 6. You know, the guy with the headphones on all the time?
Oh,
with
the short shorts? The short shorts. Yep. Motherfucker.
He's in The Karate Kid as Alan. And a ton of John Travolta films, probably because he's John Travolta's nephew.
He is?
So he's in like 5 John Travolta films.
No wonder he has them eyes.
Yes.
Holy shit.
Once you see it, you're like, yeah, oh yeah.
He looks so familiar. Oh my God. Oh my God. Okay. And I think I remember who he is in Friday the 13th too. He has the headphones, but he's also banging the girl with the headphones on.
Yeah.
He has the headphones on, but he's banging the girl. Right? Isn't that in the trailer? In the little trailer?
Well, it's part 6. It's Jason Lives.
I think he's in a trailer banging the girl, but he has his headphones on.
I don't remember. I know he has the short shorts and the headphones in the movie. That's what he's known for in that movie.
Short shorts.
We're introduced to a bunch of these people as they're getting off the bus, and we're finding out each thing. In fact, the main character could be said to be this one kid. Hold on. Give me a second.
His name is Franklin.
His name is Donald Poultry.
Oh, that's a little kid with the glasses.
He's the narrator of this film.
Yeah.
June 27th. Dear Diary. At least I hope talking into a tape recorder can be considered a diary. Well, anyway, here I am on my way to camp. And these kids have been singing ever since we got on the bus.
Yeah, he's played by Adam Carl. He is Donatello in The Secret of the Ooze.
Nuh-uh.
Yeah, really strange. He's also Derek in The Monstro Squad.
Derek?
Is he the one that says, "Thanks, fat kid"?
No.
Is he one of the bullies?
No, I think he's dating the blonde chick.
Well, how many years apart is this in Monster Squad? He can't be that much older.
No, Monster Squad, wasn't that like 88?
Yeah, it's got to be only a few years after
only
this.
Only a few years.
So that's why I thought he was one of the kids that were bullying him.
Oh. Wait, no, that's EJ. That's the kid from the Wonder Years that's bullying him.
Oh, yeah, you're right. So I don't know who Derek is.
Derek is the boyfriend of the sister.
How could this kid, this little kid, grow up in only 2 years to be the boyfriend?
Wait, am I wrong?
Yes, I'm talking about the little kid that's narrating this film.
Yeah, I know. His poultry. I know who he is.
You're suggesting that in only 2 years he's going to grow up to be a full man.
No, I guess that's not right. Derek, I don't know. I have no idea.
Yeah, I don't know who he is either. But he is Donatello, which that's a very surprising. I didn't even click. I'm like, what? In the second?
I mean, you wouldn't be able to tell.
Is he in the suit? Is he the voice? Like, what is he? Is he doing everything? I don't know. I know they were doing the voices. But in the first movie, they were more bigger people, right? Like, wasn't Donatello somebody? I don't know, because he didn't do the first Donatello.
No, Donatello was Corey Feldman back then.
That's what I thought. Isn't that crazy?
I got nothing, man. Yeah.
Well, he's narrating the movie, and this is that stereotype, and this is why the movie feels so strange, because the movie starts off like it's one of these crazy teenage horny movies where you're all going to get in a camp, and then the girls are going to be in the camp, and there's going to be all these things. And they're introducing each kid with this song playing, as they're looking in their suitcases, and you kind of find each one out.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Oh, the one's got alcohol in there. One's got Twinkies in there. Well, you know, you got all the stereotypes.
One
right?
has porn.
One has porn. And then this kid is the dork. And he's supposed to be the nerdy kid who is, he's got a computer in his suitcase. And he also is narrating this in a giant, some kind of recorder. It's huge, it looks like a brick. And they're saying it's some kind of science thing because there's a scene where Runk the Punk gets audio. And then when he gets your audio, it tells you what kind of person you are. And he plays it to him and he's like, you're an asshole or something like that. and he gets mad at him. And I'm like, I don't know what the hell is happening with this kid's science in this movie.
So weird.
But it is that 80s viewpoint on like nerds and technology, which is, it's strange because this movie does not care about that going forward. It just stops being about that at one point. They're setting up the, and I guess into the movie's credit, they're setting up a fake narrative that you've seen this kind of movie before, and then it becomes something completely different,
mm-hmm.
which, well done in that aspect, because you don't really see a lot of it coming.
No.
As it goes forward, it gets crazier and crazier.
Yeah, I had a feeling from the beginning of this movie, though, that the main kid, and his name is Franklin.
Okay, I mean, he's not the main, I wouldn't say he's the main kid.
Well, he's the leader of the pack.
He's one of the, like, the main, one of the main cast that gets most play.
Mm-hmm. He's the bad guy.
Okay, well, go ahead. What are you going to say?
I was going to say that I knew him from somewhere.
Oh, okay. No.
We don't.
No, Franklin, this actor is played by Charlie Stratton. He is the writer and director of a movie called In Secret, and he was also an actor in the movie Munchies and something called Hot Chili, which I instantly put on my watch list. Yeah, Hot didn't Chili. Know him for anything. And this is the craziest thing. A lot of the cast have been in a lot of things, and most of them don't have pictures. But every time I looked at one, it was something that we knew.
Mm-hmm.
So I was like, I cannot believe they don't have more photographs. This guy actually has a brand new photograph.
Oh, wow.
And he's not in much, which kind of shocked me, seeing as how prominent he is in the film.
Wow.
Yeah, but like, they're all getting off, and they're getting to their cabins, and they're doing the music, and we see all these people, and we get Chuck Connors come off the bus, who gets his special credit with his name right under him as he gets off the bus.
Is he wearing a toupee?
Good question.
That hair's not coming out of his head, I could tell you that much.
I know, it's great. But I love that he is... They made him so dorky in this, and because we've seen so many movies where he is like a very like frightening dude.
Yeah, he's got badass. A menacing look to him.
And in this, he's like,
he's wearing glasses.
He's like, Mr. Rogers.
Yeah, he does look like Mr. Rogers. Got his pants up to his neck.
Yep.
You know, he's the leader of the camp.
Well, he's the head camp counselor, and he is new to this camp. It turns out that they're cutting funding. And so they only have like 3 camp counselors working for him,
mm-hmm.
and he's new to it. And of course, because he's new to it, he's going to be strict.
Right. And that's also the he's problem here. A little religious.
He's religious, so, and he wants kids to be good kids.
Yeah. So we know that when we see the kid Franklin, that this is going to go ugly. Because I have a feeling he has that shit face, you know?
I guess, because...
Like, he's going to start some biz.
I actually didn't take it that way. He seemed like he's, like, the intellectual of the bunch.
Seems older.
Yeah, he seemed like, to me, like, the guy who was the smartest of the bunch. He was going to be the Van Wilder. He's going to be the Mahoney. You know that, they're going to get into wacky hijinks, and this guy's going to be, the head smart guy of the bunch.
He seems smug.
Yeah, he does, only because that he's always reading something, but he also seems caring of a lot of things that are happening at the beginning of this.
He does. He does seem a little like he cares about the kids. Like he was trying to help them out and stuff. But he's one of the kids mentions that he rolled up in a freaking limo to the bus station.
Yeah, they're suggesting that this is a guy who comes from a rich family.
Yeah, so it's weird to me that, like, first of all, he's probably pushing 18. And why wouldn't his parents send him to, like, a boarding school or military school or something? Why would they send him to some summer camp? That doesn't seem right. I mean, for, like, this particular character. I don't know. He seems too elitist.
Yeah, and I guess they establish also that there's one nice kid who sticks up for Donald. The nerdy kid when he's getting picked on. Mm-hmm. So we kind of get like this idea that this guy's going to be the nice kid, the one that sticks up for everybody.
His name is Chris.
Yeah, his name is Chris. Mm-hmm. Another actor, not in it much. His name is, he's played by an actor named Harold Pruitt. He's in the movie Spellcaster and Embrace of the Vampire. That's pretty much
That's it?
Yeah, pretty much.
Embrace of the Vampire.
That's the one with the
Alyssa Milano?
Yeah, Alyssa
Milano. Oh, wow. Nothing else?
No,
he looks so familiar. Really.
Yeah, that's this whole cast. And you actually didn't pick up on a bunch of them. So some of these are going to shock you.
I don't like it. I need to know everybody. Tell me.
Oh, well, as we go on, like we meet more characters, there's a, like each character is kind of doing their own thing, and each character kind of gets their own time to have scenes. Some of them don't really matter as much, but there is a guy named Jerome. He's not the it confused me on which one Jerome was during the movie, because I don't remember. There is one guy who's rapping terribly.
Oh, I think that's Jerome.
Is it? Okay.
I like his raps.
My name is Hammond, tonight's DJ, so I want you to dig what I have to say. This talent show is gonna blow your lids, so put your hands together for putting on the kid.
Because there's another guy, I think it is Jerome, is the rapper, but I'm not sure.
No, I think that was him. He was like the heavyset kid.
Yeah, that's where there's a couple of guys here. I'm like, who the hell was this character? Because I don't remember these names being said, and I have a bunch of names. Yeah, let's just go with Jerome, because this actor's name is Michael Kramer, and he was in Weird Science as the Weenies. Do you know what the hell that is? Or what's that a reference to? That's what he's playing.
Say it again?
The Weenies.
I have no idea.
Yeah, it says that. It says he's in Weird Science as the Weenies. I have no idea what that means.
I got nothing. I've seen that movie 987 times.
That was an odd one. Rick Fitz as Ed. He was on every TV show. I actually think Ed is the guy who's rapping, but I'm not sure. Because I remember one time they crown him during this movie, and he does a whole thing. And I thought he said he's Lord Ed or something like that.
From now on, all of you shall address me as your king, master of the universe.
But he was on every TV show. He played the dentist. That's what he's credited on Seinfeld. Chris Hubble as Jack. He wrote the dialogue in The Little Mermaid and Oliver and Company. That's weird. And he is the writer of one of the most disliked episodes of the Batman animated series.
Oh my God.
I've got a Batman in my basement. So that, I thought that was funny. Scott Curtis as Peter. He was on a television show called Santa Barbara.
That's a soap opera.
He was on the whole show.
Oh, I never watched that one.
John Louie as Paul the Indian.
Who the hell is that?
Well, he is AKA the little boy who sells Gizmo.
All right, fellas, settle down. You all know me. I'm Ed Hines.
And starts all the madness in the Gremlins films. He's in this a bunch. He, at the end, he's actually dressed like an Indian for no particular reason.
I remember that. And I was like, wait, what is this?
He's got a lot of lines, too, and you didn't notice it at all.
Oh, my God. No, I did not.
Weird, and I could not tell, but it says a character's named Gogo. I don't remember this character. The actor's name is Brad Creston. And we should know that because he's the voice of Charlie Brown.
For real?
Yeah, he's in this movie too. There's a lot of bit actors. I didn't know. As we're meeting all these characters, we start finding out like there's the other camp, the South Pines, and they're going to have like a dance, and they're going to come over, but they're also going to have a talent show.
Mm-hmm.
And now we kind of set up that Chuck Connors is. He seems straight-laced to the point where everything sucks for this camp, because he's telling them that if they do bad things, they'll get put into like a lockup house if they break his rules. He has changed the television so it only plays one televangelist.
Yeah.
He does nature walks, and there's no drinking, smoking.
No cursing.
Yeah. No going over this bridge. Now this is hilarious. We're told that there's a bridge that links South Pines to North Pines. So the women's are on the other side of this. The women's camp is on the other side of this bridge. Now, they said, well, this bridge is condemned. So why do they even have a bridge there in the first place is beyond me. But it's shut down, and it's just imagine the rope bridge from Temple of Doom.
This thing is in worse shape than that.
Yeah, it's actually just like some rickety boards attached to some rickety ropes. It's over a gorge of just rocks.
Yeah.
And so they're telling us that, and there's a big sign that says, condemned, don't go over, you know, the whole thing. And of course, telling a bunch of kids that they can't do something, they instantly go over to it and stare at it. And the one kid, Franklin, decides to try to cross it. He's like, I can cross it. And he jumps over to like show himself off, and he almost falls, but he catches himself and he does hand over hand, like the monkey walk,
mm-hmm,
with his hands across the bridge and makes it back. So they're like, that's like a setup. You kind of get some things here that you think are going to be big setups. Like, we're also told for no reason that Donald can't swim and Franklin can't swim. And when Donald starts drowning, you see Franklin watching him for a little bit, and no one sees that Donald is like almost drowning. And Franklin seems to almost relish in the fact that no one's watching, until suddenly he jumps in and saves this kid from drowning. And I guess it's like becoming more of how, you know, he's establishing these bonds with these characters.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess I mean, you would think that these are big setups, like, oh, that's going to come back. The lake's going to come back. Oh, that bridge is going to come back. Where we're going with all this.
He does come off as caring. He really does.
Especially when Chuck Connors brings all the little kids on a butterfly safari type, like, wilderness trip where they're going to go look at butterflies, and it takes really small children. And one of the kids is crying in the bunkhouse. And Franklin comes in and sees this, and he asks him what's going on. And the kid is like really reluctant to tell him, but he tells him that he picked him up. Chuck Connors had picked him up, and it was awkward, and he felt really strange, and he peed himself. So this leads Franklin to say to Runk the Punk, or whatever the hell this kid's name is.
The worst Runk character.
He tells him, like, hey, I think he molested him, but keep this between us. Now you're like, what's going on? What is this setup? You know, mm-hmm, how is this going to come back?
Well, right off the bat, like, I thought that there was something wrong with this Franklin kid. When he had that look in his eye, when he saw that the little boy poultry, he was drowning, I was like, wait a minute. I looked over at you. I was like, is he going to let this kid die?
I thought he was.
Like, what is going on? Because he wasn't moving, and apparently he can't swim either.
That's what they say. He jumps in and saves the kid.
But he does jump in and save the
kid. And I didn't even know he jumped in until you told me. I actually thought the other kid, Chris, was actually the kid that was saving him. And then you were like, no, he did. I was like, how is he in there?
Yeah, he jumped right in.
Because I thought he was holding off.
It was so weird.
To let this kid drown.
It's like, okay, he can suddenly swim. But, like, the way he had, like, this smirk on his face, I thought that he was going to, like, let him die.
Yeah.
It was weird. But he actually cares about these kids. It's just crazy.
He seems to.
He seems to be very nice to these kids, which, yeah, I think is setting this up for the plot, you know?
Kind of. I don't know how much of this is, like, a false setup to another movie, which is strange.
It is. But, yeah, you know, slowly you see, like, Franklin, he becomes like a different person.
Well, as things keep evolving, things start getting weird. Well, what happens is they have the first night where the girls come in for the talent show,
mm-hmm,
and that's where we're introduced to our three main female characters. There's only three. Everybody else is kind of like a whole bunch. Well, there's a fourth little girl I forgot about, but there's like only these ones. So then that's where we're introduced, and they have a little band, and they sing a song.
What's the name of their band?
I don't. Oh,
Friends, Romans, and Countrymen too. There's a little something I gotta tell you. They will make your hair frizzle, will make your fingers blister. So put your hands together for the South Park Sisters.
Okay, so we have Melissa Reeves as Heather. She's, mm-hmm, like the main one of these three, really. She was on the show Santa Barbara as well, and also Days of Our Lives as Jennifer Horton.
Didn't watch that one.
Oh, you never watched that? Didn't know. She was on the whole show, apparently.
No.
Samantha Newark as Debbie. Do you know that name?
No.
You should.
Why?
It's the voice of Jem.
No, it's not.
So, she's,
for real?
She's credited as Jem and the singing.
No, we know that Britta Phillips. Britta Phillips sings Jem.
Really?
Yes.
So I'll have to look this up more.
Britta Phillips is the voice of Jem, the singing voice of Jem, 100%.
All right. Well, it definitely says Jem.
Hi, everybody. I just, I get a lot of fan mail over the years anyway, with people who are a bit confused with who did the singing for Jem and who did the acting. And just to clarify, I am the voiceover artist that did the speaking voices of Jem and Jerrica. I did the acting part. I was not the singer for Jem. The singing voice was done by Britta Phillips, an amazing artist out of New York. And so we're both Jem. And it gets confusing because I am a singer-songwriter and have been singing since I was a little kid before I even booked Jem. And Britta is also an actress. So therein lies the confusion. And I remember when I first read for Jem, I was so excited because being a singer, I was like, oh my gosh, she sings. It's perfect. It's me. And they didn't have the advent of shooting MP3s back across the country in those days. And all the music and musicians were being cast in New York. In fact, I believe that it was already cast in New York before I even read for the speaking roles of Jem in Los Angeles, and all the voiceover artists and all the voices were recorded in Burbank, California. So that's the way it went down when we did the show. And you know, I've said it many, many times, you know, two female artists got to do what they love for a living on this great show. And you know, Britta has been very supportive of me and I'm very supportive of her. And we're two very different artists as far as our music and our singing goes. And I hope you'll check out her stuff and I hope you'll check out mine. So I just wanted to clear up any confusion because it's an assumption since we both sing and we both act that it was one person that did everything and that it's not the way it was. So there we go.
And Trixie, Nancy Calabrese, and she was only in this and a couple other things and like bit roles. They have their little band and they sing their little song that get all the guys going nuts for them.
Mm-hmm.
Must be bored here at North Pines. There's only so much you can do. Come visit us, the girls down at South Pines. You'll see that all your dreams come true. Other games to play down south, down south. Now there's no need to be so cruel. Come visit us and you live with us at our pool. Down south, down south.
I'll fix you up a snack.
I'll rub your tired back.
If you're a real good boy, I'll even share my sack.
Down south, down south. So boys, you'll find it's worth the tramp. We're lighting up the lamp. Hurry or you'll stand in line. Stop wasting all this precious time. Come visit us at Camp South Pines. Down south, south.
And they go backstage and each one of them kind of gets like met like hooked up with a guy. So Chris, our main good guy, kind of, and Heather kind of hit it off.
Mm-hmm.
I was a little confused because when they first see each other, they talk instantly like they've been at this camp before and they have seen each other before. But as it goes on, he's like, what's your name?
Yeah, and, none of these people know each other. The girls don't know the boys.
Which is weird because they must have gone to this camp because these are the older kids. So they've been to this camp before, you would think.
No, doesn't seem like they have.
A lot of the other guys know each other.
Huh. Well, it's possible that the boys have all been to camp before together, but the girls never met the guys.
You know? They have these talent shows. They have a dance. So they must have met. That's what I assumed anyways, but they act like they never met, but it doesn't really matter because they make out pretty damn quick in this film.
Yeah, they sure do.
Yeah.
Horny-ass teenagers.
Yeah. And the other guys, the punk guy and the other guy from Friday the 13th, they hook up with the other two girls.
These are the two most vile
yeah.
male characters in the movie. I don't like them.
Yeah.
They're awful.
And they have their, like, we already kind of buried this lead, but they have their own act in the talent show, which is the hot dog. Was it the horn dogs?
The hot dogs. I love hot dogs.
The horn dogs with their hit song Beef Bologna, which is an unplugged rock and roll band.
Wait, how does it go? Beef, 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 beef bologna. Beef,
yeah,
beef,
basically beef, get on my beef bologna.
Yeah. And they grab their balls.
They grab their crotches. And then this leads the two camp counselors, which is the head of the women camp and Chuck Connors. They kind of agree, like, this is revolting. So he shuts it down instantly and tells the women to get back on the bus. All the girls to go back on the bus and leave. And they are canceling the dance.
Which I get.
Yeah.
I mean, these two clowns ruined it for everybody with their ball grabbing.
Yeah. I mean, to be fair, the girls are also doing a seductive dance to the guys.
I was going to mention saying that.
Going down south.
Yes. And also,
which was okay.
Okay. So they're all dressed like super duper girls. Like 80s, and they're dressed kind of provocatively. One of them looks like Cyndi Lauper.
Yes. Which is funny. They're all like dressed like somebody.
Yeah. But they're pretty provocatively dressed.
They're like, all the boys will go down south or whatever mm-hmm. to South Pines.
And they're kind of gyrating.
Yeah, and they're doing a whole thing. And I was like, of course, the den mother or whatever, the camp counselor for the women, she's, oh, how cute are they?
Yeah, these but girls. She wasn't repulsed by their act, and it was a little bit risque.
Exactly.
It wasn't as vile as the boys' act.
But so funny.
It was just silly. So they shut down the whole thing, and then they say, we're not going to have the dance either in a couple of days, so everyone has to get out. Go back to your camp. Get out.
Which, I mean, of course, instantly doing this is going to piss everybody off, which it does. And so Chris and the other two guys find a way to go meet those three girls.
Mm-hmm.
In the woods somehow. I don't know how they meet up, but they somehow get into... Now, they say the only way to get over there is that bridge. Now, don't know. They don't explain how do they get over there. No idea whatsoever. But they meet up with them on their side, and we know it's their side because the girls' camp, their camp counselor, catches them, especially Heather and Chris, making out hardcore on top of a table.
On the arts and crafts
table. I know, she comes over and she instantly says, you're on the arts and crafts table.
It would be funny if she, like, if Heather got up off a table Stickers. And she had, like, glitter on her butt.
Yeah, it'd be so funny. And so this is it. Now, this leads Chuck Connors to lock Chris up in that detention bunkhouse, basically. And now Franklin gets irritated by this. Now, we already see that he's starting to become more vile to, like, toward Chuck Connors and the camp itself.
Yeah, but you know what's weird about him is that he doesn't participate in any of this debauchery.
No, nothing.
You know, he's not doesn't drinking. Doesn't care
about the women.
Yeah. He's not into the women. He just is, like, one of those quiet ones that just watch everything that's happening.
The one you should watch out for.
Yeah, the creepy one. And so he gets pissed off that Chris is in pretty much the quiet room, and he kind of stages a revolt. to get him out.
Yeah, he actually talks everybody into doing this thing during the cafeteria, while they're all in the cafeteria, and he gets everybody to, I guess it's like the joke is make wishes, and then he finally, and then we have one more wish, and then he says, free Chris.
Free Chris Wayne. Free Chris Wayne. Free Chris Wayne. Free Chris Wayne.
Yeah.
And so everybody starts chanting Free Chris.
Everyone starts, like, you know, with their fists in the air. It was like, oh shit, this guy is going to cause like a freaking mutiny. And that's exactly what happens.
Well, here's the crazy thing, Joe. He found Chuck Connors' gun?
Yeah, so, okay, I looked over at you, I was like, wait a minute, I did ask you, I mean, outright, how did he know that there was a gun there?
Yeah.
How did he know that? He just, you know, went in the drawer and found it? Okay.
It's, and the way they show it is like, we're not supposed to know who it is that has the gun.
Right, but we clearly do.
Yeah.
It's no secret.
I didn't know what this movie was about to become. But it slowly starts getting very obvious when we start looking at, like, we're like, oh, is this going to be like a Lord of the Flies? I think you said that to
That's
me.
What I
this
said.
This is Lord of the Flies now, isn't it?
I was like, wait a minute. They're going to, okay, this is going to be like a Children of the Corn type situation where they kill all the adults and then they have to fend for themselves and, you know, Outlander and all that stuff. So I thought that was going to happen. But what really happened was that Franklin was pissed. And he takes the gun and he brings a small group of just the, you know, asshole kids with him and holds Chuck Connors a freaking gunpoint.
And all the other camp counselors.
And all the other camp counselors, all the adults. And, you know, he's like, all right, let him out of that quiet room and get your ass in there. And he puts the adults in the quiet room.
Yeah.
And he starts leading the children into, like, a revolution is what he calls it.
Yeah, they even board up the windows.
They board up the windows. Now, I was wondering throughout this movie, are those camp counselors and, like, what's going on? Are they dead?
Yeah.
Because who is feeding them?
They never really go back to this at all. Because I guess when Chris gets released, he's like, this is getting out of hand. And he's like, no. I know that Chuck Connors molested one of the kids. And they didn't need to lock him up. And he's like, well, then we'll just call the cops.
Right.
And Franklin says, we'll do that tomorrow. Let's just have a good day.
Yeah, he wants to have a party and have a dance. All the things that Chuck Connors kind of shot down for him, for them.
Well, you would think that's all he wants. What he really wants is to take over and be like the president of this place.
Yeah, he wants to take over.
Over these people.
So just picture, like, you know, a freaking little rich snooty booty kid, and he thinks that he's owed something and thinks he's a tough guy, and he puts the camp counselors away, and then he starts just letting the kids party and have a good time. And, you know, then they decide, the boys decide, hey, let's get the girls involved. So they go and they take the four women that work at the girls camp hostage. And do they put them in the room too?
They say lead them off with a gun. He gives a gun to the punk kid and is like, lead them to get locked up as well.
Okay, so we got all the camp counselors in there in that one room.
All the camp counselors, all the heads.
Mm-hmm.
I think even the cook. The cooks, everybody get locked up.
Yeah, everybody gets locked up, which is weird because, I mean, they board up the windows, which means there's not going to be any air in there. So, like, it's strange how they never go back to what's going on with the camp counselors at all. They just never
It's not like it's airtight.
No.
They can breathe fine.
I mean, but who's feeding them?
Okay. Yeah, I kept questioning how long has it been? Because, like, at one point, I think they say it's like a week go by.
Yeah.
And I'm like, those people, what is happening to them? Like, are they descending into madness while being all locked up together? And how come they can't storm this place? Because they only have one gun.
True.
And it's not like he's going to go riddle them with bullets. Nobody actually gets shot in this film.
No.
What does occur, though, is that while the party, when the two camps meet and they converge and they're in one camp, It gets insane because they start drinking heavily. And the one girl, I think it's Trixie, she just has a dance off and gets everybody dancing. That's why you were like, yeah, this is my kind of movie now.
Well, you said, and I quote, and Joe just entered the room. And I was like, hey, I'm not a little hussy. She was a hussy.
This girl, I will say this. She has one drink in a styrofoam cup that's a mixed drink, and she is instantly drunk.
She drunk was dancing in her short, tiny skirt, and all the boys were all up on her butt.
We know that she's dancing in the skirt because the camera likes to film it for a good 10 minutes.
I thought they were going to go up the skirt at one point.
I thought it was going to unzip because it was like one of those zipper ones.
Yeah, I was like, oh, come on. This is too much.
In fact, she dances on the one guy. I don't know if it's Ed. But she like dances all up on him. And I'm like, I kept thinking to myself, they're at camp. They're supposed to be really young. And this feels weird.
Yeah. So there was a range of ages here.
Yes.
So we had little kids. Like I'm talking maybe 7, 8 years old. And then we had teenagers. So there was like a lot of different ages going on here. And so at one point, Franklin goes and doesn't he get Chuck Connors and brings him in?
No, I was just going to get to that. But I was going to say that these kids look old enough to be counselors themselves.
They do.
But they aren't. But I'm also like, if they aren't counselors, then they have to be underage. And they're showing this very gratuitously.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I feel weird.
Yeah, I felt weird too.
Well, naturally, anybody who sees a girl dancing, your first instinct is like, hey, what if we got Chuck Connors and had this girl dance on him?
Yeah.
What the hell? So the two idiots, Runk and Crunk, whatever the hell their names are, they go and get Chuck Connors and bring him here. And she just willingly dances up on him.
Yeah, but she's like, it's so creepy. It's so odd. She's touching his face and like rubbing on his chest and stuff. And it was just
it's
creepy.
So weird. And even Chuck Connors feels uncomfortable. You can tell.
Yeah.
Luckily, Chris and Manuel, they take all the little kids to go sleep away from the drunks. And I was like, thank you. Two of these people are at least
there
nice people.
There was little kids little in there when kids. This was happening. And she's like rubbing her ass all over everybody.
Yeah, everybody's drunk and everybody's sexually dancing on each other. Yeah, and everybody's making out.
Like, oh, God.
They bring them away, but when they get back, they see this Chuck Connors thing, and they freak out. And so it's like Heather and Chris are like, what the hell? You guys got to stop.
Now, mind you, he's got tape over his mouth, and his hands are bound behind his back. So he can't get out of this if he tried. He's just standing there with a gun to his back.
Yeah.
And I feel so bad for him, because I was like, oh, shit, this is not going to be good.
Also because I think this is the first time a lot of people in the groups, the two camps, have seen that he is held hostage.
Yeah.
And instead of like, what the hell is happening? The girl's like, yeah, I'll do this.
It's so weird. And they're so willing.
Franklin finds out, and Chris makes a huge, huge stink. Franklin finds out and tells them, especially the Runk the Punk or whatever his name is, go take him back. And he goes and brings him out there. But he takes his gun. He has his gun back, Franklin. And he says, lead him out there with the knife. Back to the cabin, lock him back up. So Chris does, but Chuck Connors.
It's not Chris that leads
him
back
there.
Oh, I'm so sorry. It's
Punk.
Just call him Beef Baloney.
Punk brings him out there. And Chuck Connors is a huge dude.
He's really tall.
He's so big. And he really, even if his hands are tied behind his back, he takes this kid out with his head.
Oh my God, it's amazing.
He keeps hitting him. But of course, we know what's going to happen here. Chuck Connors accidentally falls on his knife.
Yeah. We knew this was going to happen. We knew that Chuck Connors was going to be taken out.
And Chuck Connors dies, leading him to go run to Franklin and tell him in tears, like, I didn't mean to. He's dead and everything. And they're like, Franklin's like, shut up. You idiot, just throw his body behind the the houses.
No, he said put him in a cave. And
oh, did he say put him in a cave?
He said put him in a cave, which never comes back.
Never.
Never. And we also see, like, later on, one of the little kids, which is Poultry, he's in that cave, and he doesn't even see the body.
He's never near in the cave, but he's by it a lot. And he actually smells what he says is, like, a corpse.
Yeah.
They say it's, like, elephant shit. And I laugh because I'm like, oh, that must be the body. But nobody ever finds the body.
It's so weird.
Yeah, it's so strange. But, yeah, they throw it out there. And no one even questions what happened to him. No one in the groups. And madness keeps getting crazy in the camp, right? And I would say the craziest moment is that one of Beef Bologna, the horn dogs, literally lives up to his name because he brings Debbie out to the woods to make out. But she's,
Debbie is one of the girls that was, you know, dancing and singing.
Yeah, in she's talent the, that's show. The actress that was the voice of Jem. Mm-hmm. She goes out there with him, but she tells him to slow down and stop. And he gets like, more aggressive, so she slaps him, which makes him rape her. And which I was like, what the hell?
I was like, oh, man, you know, this is, first of all, sick. But the worst part is that it was Poultry and his little girlfriend. Yeah, he has like a little girlfriend.
Yeah.
They're running through the woods and they actually hear her screaming and they run to help her. And they see her like beat up on the ground with her, you know, jean skirt like open. And you know, what's his face? What's his name? I forget. The guy who rapes her, one of Beef Bologna. He's leaning against the tree with a smug look on his face like, yeah, I done it. And I was like, oh my God. And what happens next is what I did not expect. Okay, so I was just like, I was in shock.
Well, that scene, the two kids find her,
mm-hmm.
and they see this, and you think, oh my God, this guy's name is Mason, John Mason. Mm-hmm. You think Mason's going to do something to Poultry.
Yeah.
And you think, oh, this is not going to be good. How are they going to prove this? He's going to kill these little kids to shut them up.
That's what I thought.
Instead, it just fades to the next, like, the next day or whatever.
Yeah.
Where they have him tied up in, like, handcuffs almost.
This guy, John Beef Bologna, he's tied up.
And he's brought into a court where we didn't even know if it definitely was rape, but we knew that he, like, had beat her and tried. But they straight up say, no, he raped me. And the Poultry and that girl, like, it happened. Because Mason's like, no, it didn't happen. But as he tells the story, she's like yelling that this happened. I want justice. And they're like, well, what justice? What could make it better? Like, what would be the justice? And she goes, murder him.
Franklin asked her, what do you want us to do with him? And she out and out says, kill him.
Kill him.
So I was like, oh, shit, this is turning into that kind of movie.
Yeah.
I was like, wow. Okay, so we already lost Chuck Connors. And these kids are going to go straight on like Lord of the Flies like, right now. And so Franklin, who's like acting like he's president of the United States over here, he's leading this group and they are all following him like a bunch of cultists.
Yeah. And, you know, we forgot to point this out. But before this all happens, like they're part of their descent into madness is there's a lot of bizarre moments that just show you like they're getting weird. All the kids are getting stranger. There's these like cuts. Like, there's commercial edits going to be in the movie, which I know it's PG, so I kept thinking, maybe this is a TV movie. I really know. I thought
that, too.
And there seem to be commercial, like, spots to edit, like a fade to black. One of the moments is that the Beef Bologna brothers, they go and get a pig from the farm, which is, there's a farm for some reason with pigs. They get one, and they tie it up, and they start a fire. And they put the pig over the fire alive. And everybody's like, aren't you supposed to kill it first? And they're like, well, he's going to die anyways. I'm like, okay, so all these people are witnessing these two dudes burning a pig alive. Yeah,
they're just allowing this to happen. Which, mind you, they do not show this incident.
They fade to black on this. This is one of those moments. But that's wild that anybody would even be around these two after
I'm surprised that these kids are going along with any of this anyway.
Yeah.
I mean, they know that the camp counselors are being held hostage, and they're okay with this?
That's what I'm saying. Held hostage, Franklin's got a gun. They're all, like, sleeping out on the lawn.
Yeah, they have bunks. Like, why can't you sleep inside? Why are you sleeping on a mattress in the field?
Yeah.
Like,
well, which is what Chris and Heather go do.
Because they get ousted.
Because they get ousted. They told he does an intercom thing because he's telling them they have to stop. And he goes on an intercom and he tells everybody to act like they don't exist. So they're basically kicked out of the area and they're outing in a tent. They're hiding out in the middle of the woods.
Yeah, but you forgot what happens after the trial.
Well, that would all happen before the trial. That's why I try to set it
yeah,
up.
Yeah, well, so they're ousted and the kids are told not to talk to them. So, but what happens is that Debbie, who got raped, you know, wants justice. She wants justice for what happened to her. So the girls all, you know, they tell Franklin, hey, you know, put him through some shit, you know? And Franklin makes him do the rope bridge thing. And yes, so he passes that test and he survives the rope bridge.
Which is funny because all the women are throwing rocks at him while he's doing
it. I mean, I would too. He's a rapist.
Yeah.
But yeah, so they were trying to get him to fall. It didn't work. He passed the test. So he got back onto land and he's like, ah, fuck you. And we're done.
He actually says to her, what do you want me to do? Tell everybody that I raped you? To tell you how bad of a lay you are? Yeah. So the women instantly pick him up like he's crowd surfing. And they haul him off into the woods.
Yeah, we don't see anything what happens after that.
And Poultry narrates, no one ever saw him again.
Yeah. Wait,
no one knows what happened to him after that. But they picked him up like ants carrying a leaf.
It was amazing. I was like, okay, good, good.
Yeah, I'm like, I kind of want to know what's happening to him. Like, I want to know. Luckily, we do find out, but it's not it, like you kind of want to see the savagery of these characters going insane.
I wanted to see it.
Yeah. If it went there, I think it would have been a more interesting film. But yeah, as things go on, things get a little more chaotic. And now people are going missing. They're all drunk. Like, people are just sleeping everywhere. They're doing crazy stuff. And everybody's just like, going like ridiculous.
They're all dirty.
Yeah.
They're all wearing like it looks like corn stalks around their heads and stuff. Like, they've gone completely savage. It's just over the top. It's ridiculous.
Well, things are getting crazy. And so Poultry actually goes off into the woods to find Chris at this point because things are getting so crazy. And that, you know, Debbie was raped and this kid's missing and he doesn't know what's going on. And he goes and runs off and tell Chris. And while he goes and runs off, he finds that guy's dead hanging body. So yep. the women all hung him.
Yep.
In the woods.
Beef bologna.
Beef bologna.
It looks like a sack of beef bologna hanging there.
And it's so crazy because his friend never even goes and looks for him.
No. I mean, he was following what Franklin wanted.
Yeah.
And he's just a freaking follower. He didn't care about that guy. So he was, you know, that he didn't give a shit. And he also is a murderer. And he got over that real quick because he stabbed Chuck Connors and killed him. He was all broken up about it in the first 30 seconds.
And then never talks about it again.
Yeah, never talks about it again.
They make it like John makes a joke at him while before he has to do the rope thing. And he's like, there's another spot you can take the knife from. Like, it's kind of like a reference that he knows that he stabbed him.
Mm-hmm.
And he's also saying, you stabbed me in the back type of thing.
Yeah.
But that's the only hint anybody ever gets that he has stabbed that guy.
Yeah.
That does not come back.
Because the campers don't know that Chuck Connors is dead.
Yeah, no one even seems to know.
They don't know.
Although someone says, Chris tells Poultry that nobody knows where he is.
Yeah.
That he is missing, Chuck Connors. So at least somebody mentions that, yeah, maybe something happened. And which also means that Chris has talked to the people locked up, but we never see any of that, mm-hmm. So it doesn't matter. But Poultry tries to call for help on a phone that he has rigged up on top of a house that they know. And they catch him and they lock him up. And they say that he also now has to do the trial of doing the rope thing. But the problem is, this kid's not going to do that rope thing.
He's just a puny little kid.
And so, if basically, Chris gets a whole bunch of people involved in helping Poultry. Because they all like him. So this kid is forced out there to do the ropes, while everybody else starts a fight back. So like those two sides are split and everybody starts fighting each other. So there's the people on Poultry's side and the people on Franklin's side fighting each other. And one of my favorite bits here is that Chris has to fight the other beef bologna guy. And they fight on the floor and he literally just kicks him over his head and he goes flying into the gorge.
Oh my God. You know that, that reel that's, you know, like, do you see the reel on Instagram that's going around where the guy flings the guy over his, like he kicks him over. You've seen that reel before, right?
Not sure.
It's going everywhere. That's exactly what happened. He took his foot and he just went, wee! Yep. It was hysterical. Off. Now, mind you, okay, this is like a gorge.
Yeah.
With rocks. Just letting you know, okay? Lots of rocks. Yeah.
And I assumed that he had killed him and that was it. Because
we thought he was
a goner. He should be dead. Yes. The way he fell, went flying, I was like, he's dead. And that's insane.
Yes.
And he, I guess secretly, while the guy was doing Poultry was doing the ropes, Chris had somehow called the cops.
Yeah.
While they weren't watching.
He started beating the shit out of Franklin because Franklin was just not going down without a fight. And it was like a complete and utter, like, what do you call it? Battle Royale. Everyone was fighting.
Hmm.
And so Chris was fighting Franklin, and at that moment, the police arrived. Now, here's the thing.
Yeah.
Can we please? Okay. So the police arrive and break up the whole thing, and they're pulling beef bologna out of the
ravine. One cop just goes, and you just see him crawling out of the gorge while beef bologna is coming with him, and he goes, well, you're really lucky you didn't die.
Okay.
I was like, yeah. How the fuck did you live?
Okay, how did he
live? How did you live? How did you make this fall?
He didn't have like a broken leg.
Yeah, he's fine.
He was walking just fine. And that's what makes me a little like iffy on this bridge situation. Because if you can just fall from the bridge and survive, then what's the point?
Yeah, like I was thinking about that guy Mason. If he's doing the rope thing and he fell, it seemed like it was a fall, like a long drop. But then I was like, maybe he can just land on his feet.
Right. I don't understand. And then beef bologna, they take him out of there and he doesn't even have a freaking like scratch on him.
Yeah.
He's fine. It's so weird. And so the next scene, which is weird because I was asking you, I was like, what is going on? Because the cop says, we have the leaders in custody. So we see Franklin in the back of the squad car. We see the one of the other girls in the back of the squad car. And then there's no mention of the camp counselors. Where the fuck are they?
They don't show any of them. They don't talk about the dead bodies. The cop only plays Poultry's recording of the events.
Yes, but okay, that's fine. But I feel like we need some sort of an answer on where the fuck these counselors are. Like, are they dead? Like, yeah. I don't understand.
I mean, also, like, we're not told, like, are all the women campers going to jail because they killed this guy? Like, right. we don't find out anything. We're not told anything. In fact, Debbie and Trixie just get on the bus.
Yeah.
I was like, who's arrested? And also, I was like, I don't remember seeing Beef Bologna.
I mean, they don't show him, but he's one of...
He should be.
He was being dragged out of the ravine, and he's fine.
Yeah, and Franklin had a guy who started dressing like a Green Beret all of a sudden in the movie.
Yeah.
And he literally, I don't know who he... Maybe he's the voice of Charlie Brown. I don't know. But he just is the guard who watches the house with a gun.
Right, but see, here's the thing. Like, there's only one gun. So at some point, Franklin has the gun, and then... I guess he gets the gun sometimes. I don't know.
Yeah, how many bullets are in it?
But they boarded up the windows. These guys aren't getting out. So there's no sunlight coming through. And who's feeding these people?
It's not like they boarded up good. They actually show a part where they're boarding it. And it's just like, it's like that shack from Evil Dead. Like anything's getting through this
thing. But still, like, I wish that they would tell us something. Like,
I mean, they have to do something. The movie doesn't do anything. It literally, it's like it has good ideas. And that doesn't do anything with them.
Right. And I feel like the end was too rushed because, like, it took all this time for them to go through all these motions and create this revolt or whatever. And then it took 30 seconds for the police to come at the end. Yeah. You know, it was weird. And then we never find out what happened to, did they ever find Chuck Connor's body?
Yeah.
That's number one. They ever find the kid hanging in the forest? That's number two. And which people got arrested?
Yeah. It's only Franklin that I remember seeing arrested, because they make a mention of how his parents were found overseas, like they were away in Paris or something.
Yeah, they're going to come pick him up.
Yeah, he's like, they're returning from wherever they were. So I was like, oh, they're saying that he, you know, they throw him away and that's why he's like it, because they're rich.
Yeah, poor and little then, rich kid, yeah. That whole scenario. Yeah. But like, honestly, I wish that they would have given us some sort of like answer. I felt very confused at the end. I was like, wait, what?
Yeah. No.
It was just over. It just ended. It was like, okay.
Yeah.
Where is everybody?
Would you agree that this movie isn't that bad, though?
No, it's not. I was entertained throughout. And the villain kid, Franklin, he did a very good job of making you want to punch him. You know? But he also...
Yeah, I mean,
wouldn't let the rapist get away with what he got, you know, with what he did.
Well, he kind of did, because he's like, if you survive the rope thing, you're fine. And he walks away when he does get out.
Yeah, but he wasn't tolerating any BS. He wasn't.
But then he let the women all grab him, take him off, and kill him.
Well, I guess you're right. He did.
Yeah, even later on, Poulter actually says, I found his dead body hanging from a tree. And then Franklin's like, go check it out.
Yeah, and that's then
it.
Nothing.
Yeah,
nothing.
That's it. And he's like, They put him to trial and they just say, Poulter, you're going to be put on. But for what? Because he was going to call out because he found a dead body of your friends?
Yeah, he's trying to call for help because he found a body. So that's standard, like, you know, common sense.
Yeah, exactly. And so why is he going to be put to death?
Because he didn't consult with Franklin, I guess.
I guess.
But it was just, it was over the top. It was.
No, I didn't hate it.
No, I didn't hate it either, but I feel very unresolved.
Yeah, I feel like this was like an afternoon special.
I do feel like that, because of the way it ended.
Yeah, even with the commercial breaks, the way that there's like no actual gore or showing of the deaths or the violence.
Yeah.
It just kind of suggested.
Mm-hmm.
And I still find myself going, not the worst thing I've ever seen. You know, still competent. It's getting, it's doing what it's trying to do, but it's just missing something.
Mm-hmm.
What would you say you would do to fix this movie? Would you have liked it if it went hardcore?
Yes.
Like if it was like Battle Royale all of a sudden?
Yeah. I feel like it needed something. It was too tame for like, okay, so you got this kid who is, he's just messed up in the head and he wants to take over this camp. He's not, like, if you want to take over something, you take over something. Like, he already gave us this inkling that he was just not mentally stable. So, but then he came in with some morality sometimes, you know?
Yeah, exactly.
Like, don't do this bad thing, and don't do that bad thing, and don't beat up on this kid, and whatever. Like, okay, you got to make up your mind, dude. Like, are you leading a revolution where these kids can just party and do whatever they want? Or... are you running like a military school? What's happening here? What's happening? Yeah. Because he can't have it both ways. It's like, you know, he had rules. He set down rules for these kids. It's like, okay, what is the difference between you and Chuck Connors?
Yeah.
He did the same thing. He set rules for the kids. So, okay. So basically you led this revolt because you wanted to be in charge of a bunch of kids. For however long, like, how did he think he was going to, how long did he think he was going to go along with this?
Yeah.
Like, were you just going to go along with it until the end of the summer and just let those people out of the freaking bunker?
Yeah, especially since they're told that, oh, I'm going to call the cops tomorrow, and it's been like a week.
Yeah.
And you think that Chris and Heather would try to get away or use the phone in the girls' camp?
Yeah, but it seemed like nobody had their own brain.
Yeah.
It was like they were all just following him willy-nilly. Like, I don't know you from nothing. I'm not going to go along with this.
And you said, and you made a point. You said, why are these kids going along with this? But then there were some really funny bits where they showed one of the little kids go, I feel like an adult now.
Yeah.
Like, they're so young. I kept telling you, they're so young that they just think this is fun. Right. Like, they just think this is a part of, like, the summer camp.
But, I mean, okay, after day three...
You would think after a while there would be a lot more, like, crying.
Okay, I want to go home.
Especially the little kids kind of disappear.
Right, they do.
They do. And there's, like, a really funny scene where Manuel, he's, like, helping the kids write postcards to their parents. And the one little kid that Franklin says was molested, which wasn't true, he wrote to his mom, basically what the tagline of the movie is, like, having a great time at summer camp. All the kids are having sex and doing drugs. And we're now having a revolution. I just left that a little kid wrote this.
Yeah. He was maybe, what, 5 or 6?
He's like, no, we gotta change what you wrote to your mom.
But what, like, what's amazing is the fact that, okay, so Franklin at one point pulls the phone out of the wall. Mm-hmm. And someone called, and he said, oh, you know, Counselor Warren is busy. He can't come to the phone right now. And so...
That's right.
Whoever called... left a message and never got a call back. So wouldn't that send up some sort of red flag? Like, okay, this is weird. And it sounded like a child answered the phone. So that's weird. Also, are any of the parents calling?
That's who I'm assuming called, because parents do check on the kids.
Right. So, and I'm guessing, like, after, you know, day two of this, the littler kids are probably like, you know, I want my mommy. Because this is it's very off-putting and it's scary. When someone's walking around with a friggin' gun and the other one's walking around with a knife and they're kind of, like, taking over, and it's just, if I was a little kid and I saw this, I would be scared. And it doesn't seem like any of these kids are scared. Not even the older ones. So it's like, so I would change a lot about this movie, to answer your question. I would change a lot. First of all, we need answers as to what actually happened. Like a kind of, like, final answer of what happened to the counselors. We need to have the cops find the bodies. We need to know who was actually arrested, because there's a lot of kids that went along with him. And yes, he was the leader and he definitely deserved, you know, to get it worse, you know, but still, he didn't actually kill anyone.
He didn't really do any. Yeah, he just took them hostage.
He did. I mean, kidnapping is a crime.
Yeah.
I mean,
he didn't kill anybody. The other ones did way worse.
Right. But I would just, there's a couple of things that I would change about this. And I mean, there has to be, aside from just two kids, there's hundreds of kids there. Like, you're telling me all these kids went along with this? Like, come on. You know, it's just a bit extra. So... I guess, I don't know. There's just a lot I would change about this.
I would like to have seen a darker movie with two sides and maybe people taking sides against each other and them going nuts and like more like violence. Like, just like, I maybe it doesn't need it, but I think that's just my horror brain. Like, oh, this is going to be a horror movie.
Yeah, but it's like they're not on an abandoned island or whatever. They're at a summer camp. So what I would
think is... But they're children. They don't know where they are.
True. But, like, how long are they going to be there, you know? Like, before someone comes to get them, before someone realizes, oh, it's time for them to go home, and then what?
Yeah.
You know, like...
Well, did you ever go to summer camp, any of these camps? Like,
no, we were poor.
I was going to say...
My parents couldn't afford that.
I think at one point in my childhood, I think my parents wanted to dump me off at a camp, and I begged them not to, because I was like... You know, I got sick from everything. I was allergic to, like, cut grass, for God's sakes. And, I mean, like, I had asthma, so I think I would just, you know, I think I was just like, please don't.
Oh, I would freak the hell out. If my parents wanted me to go to summer camp and I had to bunk in with all these kids,
I would
freak out. I couldn't do it.
I feel like, you know, because I was sick from everything and I was like... When you're like that, you kind of get that idea that you're scared of everything. I think that I would have been bullied hardcore.
Mm-hmm.
I think it would have been terrible.
Yeah.
So I feel like I'm glad I never did, but I'm also fascinated about what it is and what it's like. And if all these different age groups are together, that's interesting to me.
Yeah. And, you know, and true. I was thinking, like, when I was growing up, I was like... I mean, you know, I was super, super skinny. People would make fun of me because I was skinny, like, and call me names and stuff. And so I didn't really feel very content in my own skin. And I would never make it at summer camp because I know there'd be like a group of mean girls just nasty to me.
That's how I feel.
And then I'd be that freaking kid. You know, that one kid that I, you know, in my synopsis of what the movie was about, that just beats the shit out of everybody and just goes crazy. That would be me. Of course, I do it in my head. Not for real.
See, I feel like I'm very similar. Well, I'm similar to the body shame ideas, like in my head, where I feel like, it, like in PE, like there's that one gym teacher who would just be like, you got to do everything. In front of every kid, and you're going to make you feel like shit. You can't do it. I feel like that would have been summer camp times five.
Oh my God. I mean, you think that kids are cruel now?
That's what I'm saying.
I mean, back then when we were growing up, kids were pieces of shit.
Everybody made me feel bad. Like,
oh my God. Terrible. So I could never, I'm glad my parents could never afford to send me because first of all, they know that I would be very unhappy there. And they didn't want me, you know, I wasn't the outdoorsy type of kid either. You know, like they wouldn't want to subject me to swimming in a lake and, you know, just doing out, you know, sleeping outside with bugs and shit. That's just not my jam. You know, I was not that kind of kid.
Oh, yeah. I can't only imagine how weird it would have been.
I was a tomboy, but I was not into camping or any of those things. I was never subjected to that kind of thing. So it didn't strike my parents as like, oh, yeah, let's ship her off to summer camp. It wasn't like, this will be a good experience for her. No, I spent my summer outside, you know, running around with my dog, doing kid things back then. Like when you didn't have phones or pagers or any of that stuff. It was just like, okay, you just run around outside and go to the community pool with your little friend. And that's what we did, you know. And I had no desire. It wasn't even like on my radar to go to summer camp. I could never fit in there. I'd be crying to go home on my first day.
Yeah, I think. Oh, me too. Me too. Let me ask you this. Did you ever go on these like school trips, like middle school trips?
Oh, several.
How did you feel in those?
Terrible. I almost drowned at John Penny Camp. I can't do shit. I'm telling you.
I just remember being very miserable. On those trips.
Miserable. I literally hated them. I hated being around. And also the teachers, not just the kids, but the teachers, okay? I'm literally with this life vest that does not work. I'm falling to the bottom of the ocean. And the guy and the freaking teacher that we were with yelled at me while we're floating in the water to tell me not to step on the coral. I'm like, I'm drowning.
Yeah.
I'm drowning. They didn't give a shit. Nobody helped me. I was like barely alive in the water. Okay. I hated field trips. Hated it. Hated it. It was terrible.
I'm looking back and I'm like, God, I should have had so much fun. But I felt so separated because I missed so much school when I was sick all the time.
Yeah.
And so when I went on these trips, I felt like I was like, the reject of the bunch of the kids. I just didn't like, I didn't know who to hang out with or whatever. And it was so awkward. I remember walking around, like, I think I went to Epcot or something, and just being so weird. And my parents also, my parents, not so good to me in the sense that they dressed me a little dorky. And I remember they gave me a fanny pack. And so I was that kid, you know, that little chub with the red hair with the fanny pack and that asthma inhaler in there. I feel really bad looking back at it and go, good Lord, I kind of deserved a little bullying.
No, you didn't. You were so cute.
Like, if I had a bad time at Epcot or something like that with a bunch of kids, I should have had I don't even remember going on rides or anything. If I had a bad time doing that, I can only imagine how summer camp would have been.
Well, that's
been a summer camp nightmare, Joe.
It would have been. Oh, I see what you did. But like, honestly, I'm telling you, I went to grad night. That was the only my senior trip thing that I did was grad night, and I had a good time with my friends. But I stuck with my core group, my my three or four main friends. And I'm telling you, I can't do this. I was so shy. I can't do this mingling with other kids thing. Like, I couldn't do that back then. I was, you know, people are very mean.
Yeah.
You know, very mean. I was tall and skinny and awkward. And everyone had something to say about me. And I would just, now I'm like, you know, I got something in my pocket for you right here. It's a big middle finger.
I know.
But I back wish. Then, I didn't have any courage to stand up for myself. And like, you know, that sounds like my worst fear. I could not do it.
Yeah, I don't think I could. I'm fascinated. Looking back, I'm like, I wish I would have done everything. But no way I could have.
No.
But I can see, like, being these little kids and being like, yeah.
I don't know. I mean, I'm just a different kind of kid, I guess. I just wasn't into that. But as far as this movie goes...
What are we giving it out of 10?
I mean, I thought it was a competently made movie.
I did, too. I actually, it was like, it could have been way worse.
It could have been way worse, but it also could have been much better. Much better,
of course.
So I'm going to say it's mediocre. I'm going to give it a 5.
Yeah, I think I agree with you. I feel like, I don't think it's a 4.
No.
No, I think it's a 5. I think it's fine.
Yeah, it kept me intrigued, and there was a lot of characters involved, so... You know, it was like an ensemble thing. We didn't have to just follow four people.
I agree.
It was competent. So I'm going to give it a 5.
I'm on our list of, we've been making the list of movies and ranking them as we're going along. And this is our 42nd movie now. I think I'm going to stick this right with we're Streetwalking.
Okay.
At number 29.
Okay. I like that.
Right. So, what do you got over there?
All right. So, what I got over here is I'm going to do my segment of why we can't have nice things, where I read two extremes of internet reviews and show you how the internet can ruin the movie rating system for all of us. And I'm going to start with the 10-star review. And you found these reviews this time, so I'm sure you're going to put me through some shit.
Oh, I just think they were funny. Whatever.
All right, here we go. Let's see what we got. The title of this one is Beef, Beef, Beef. Beef Bologna. This cheese camp flick about a bunch of kids who decide to join a revolution against the camp counselors is just that, a revolution. It is, at times, hilarious. Check out the Fear song during the talent show by the Horn Dogs. Stanley Runk the Punk's intro and the girls singing Come Visit Us Down South, no pun intended, laugh out loud. Franklin Riley is your token rebel with a cause, teenager, with civil disobedience. In his pocket and has plans to ruin the summer for everyone. He creates the revolution and appoints officers to guard the camp counselors locked in the rec room while the campers get drunk, have sex, and basically try to kill each other. The kicker, / surprise, is the rape thrown in. I was not expecting that. Classic camp / horror / cheese flick with really bad 80s songs. She makes bad boys cry. Really bad clothing, and even worse, huge nerd glasses and rashes on asses. A blast. Bite my beef bologna.
And that's a 10.
That's a 10.
Yeah, that person's got some issues. The things that he likes.
Yeah.
The rape was a surprise. 10 out of 10.
Yeah, you know, just throw in some rape there. Yeah, it adds a couple points to the score.
Just a little something.
Fucking
some
dummy.
Rashes on asses. 10 out of 10.
10 out of 10.
We didn't even mention that. We didn't even talk about
that. I'm not even sure how I read that. How did it sound coming out? Because I'm trying here. All right, we're at a 1-star review here, and this is called What a Gonad. Man, oh man, is this movie terrible. It's like watching a train wreck. But in a totally endearing way. Playing like a Lord of the Flies with an anti-communist message, Summer Camp Nightmare has to be one of the worst movies ever made. The acting is the worst ever. Chuck, the rifleman Connors, is so amazingly terrible as Mr. Warren, the camp director who's lost touch with the youth. Charles Stratton plays Franklin Riley, the crazy anarchist who starts the lamest revolution of all time. Tom Fridley, Court, a.k.a. the kid in tiny shorts in Friday the 13th, is Mason, the most homoerotic rapist ever. Runk the Punk is by far the low light of the movie, serving both as Mason's obvious manslave and Riley's thug, albeit the least intimidating thug ever. However, with all the blatant homoeroticism and crappy acting, it sets itself up as one of the greatest movies to mock with your friends ever. It's on par with Plan 9 from Outer Space, okay, go fuck yourself, but has more appeal for those who can remember torn jeans and teenage boys with feathered hair. If you do manage to snag it, though, watch with friends and be prepared to laugh like hell. If Mystery Science Theater 3000 is your idea of a good time. Okay, well, fuck you, okay? Because Plan 9 is a goddamn national treasure.
Well, I mean, I do understand that Plan 9 from Outer Space is a very funny movie to watch.
It's amazing.
And it's enjoyable. I didn't find that here.
No.
I don't know exactly what they watched that they thought was that funny.
No, it's not funny.
I know. There's
nothing funny.
There might have been some bits here and there that were like, what? Why is this happening?
I did not laugh.
Yeah, I don't think I did it either.
Even with the Beef Bologna song, I was like, what?
We didn't talk about when she dances on Chuck Connors and they played the weirdest music.
This whole movie is filled with weird music. Like
it was almost like that elephant song, you know, that Walk the Elephant song? Do, 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 do. You know that?
Is it Walk the Elephant?
It's something like that, right? What's the one they play at the ball game? Like they play at the baseball games? You know what I'm talking about?
No.
Something elephant, something rather.
I give you Baby Elephant Walk.
You know, you don't know what I'm talking about? No. It sounds so like that it was really, really strange.
Yeah, well,
I don't agree. I don't know how this person was enjoying themselves with laughing.
There's nothing to laugh at here.
I wish.
There isn't. I mean,
I wish this was like that movie.
Yeah, if you're comparing this to Plan 9, can you just go back and just check yourself?
And
watch Plan 9 again.
If you think this movie's like that, go watch last week's movie, Cocaine Wars.
Oh, my God.
Definitely worth a drink with your friends if you're in that type of thing.
Yeah. Okay. Well, that one-star review made me mad. But whatever.
Well, I mean, the 10 out of 10 or the one-star bizarre. Because this guy says there's some kind of, oh, this is a terrible movie, but you can have a good time with your friends. One star. To me, it's like, you know, you could go up a couple stars.
Yeah, these people don't know how to rate movies.
It's like, it sounds like you're saying it's a 4 or 3.
That's why you guys fuck it up for the rest of us. Because honestly, like, if you can't say a 10 is a perfect film. You can't say 10, even if you're having a good time and you're laughing. Look at this.
Well, that person didn't say that. That was the one. That's what's weird about that. But the person who said the 10 out of 10 was like, oh, I didn't expect them. I didn't expect some terrible things.
Oh, I didn't expect the rape. Okay, 10 out of 10. Okay, there's something wrong with you.
This, it goes either way. It's so weird.
Yeah.
Whatever. I think 5 is perfect for this. It's very mediocre. It's forgettable. I know that we're going to forget about it. And that's like the 5-star movies always disappear in our brains. But it's still like kind of in a decent way, but it will fade. I wish it was like that guy was saying that it was so funny.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know which review made me more annoyed. I mean, this asshole saying that there's that the huge nerd glasses are a problem. Well, fuck you, okay? Because
did he say that? I thought he was saying if you like times where there was huge nerd glasses.
Really bad clothing and even worse, huge nerd glasses. Like, okay, well, you know what? You need a slap.
I don't remember one outfit in this movie that was like, oh, that's terrible.
No, except for the ball hammock shorts that all the kids wore back then.
Heather does have the biggest hair in this film.
Yes, but she has 80s hair.
Yeah, it's just giant hair.
I mean, there's nothing wrong with that, though.
But then again, so does the punk, Runk the Punk guy, whatever the hell his name is.
He looks ridiculous. He looks like he was cast out of Faster Pussycat.
I actually thought he was somebody more famous. I thought he was another actor because he looked exactly like another guy. But, yeah, I mean, any last thoughts about this movie overall?
I mean, it could have been better. It wasn't the worst.
Yeah.
I'm glad I saw it. It's not going to leave a lasting mark on me, but I'm glad I saw it. And, I'm down to do more Corman produced films.
Yeah, there's enough of them. One day we'll get through all of them.
999
movies or something. Jesus like that. Christ. Yeah, that's insane.
I'm down for
We've done 50.
Yeah. I gotta calm my rage. I'll go get some ice cream.
All right. So
I didn't like those reviews. They pissed me off. I don't like when I can't, like, you don't let me find the reviews. I'm like, okay, something's up right now. Like
I thought they were funny.
Yeah, you are dictating my reviews. That's it. It's over. Next week I'm doing my own. I'm finding my own. You didn't want me to look into the movie.
Yeah, because those are huge spoilers. But
that's the thing. I don't look into the movie, and I usually do reviews on here with no spoilers.
Yeah, but I think they're fun. Like if they're fun, and they're two like really extremes. That's why I think I picked them. Because I like when you come out and you're actually giving me, like, I fucking hate this review or I hate this person. Or we're just laughing our asses off because you don't know what you're reading. I think that's fun.
Yeah, I struggled through that review.
Yeah,
the first one.
It wasn't as good as a couple weeks ago when I
picked the reviews. Yeah, a couple weeks ago when you picked the review. Okay, you're fired. And I'm going back. This is my segment. I'm getting my own reviews.
All right. All right. So that's, we'll call it quits. Thank you so much, everybody. Please like the show, pass it around, tell people, put it up, whatever. We appreciate everybody for listening and even commenting. You know, if you want to write us and tell us what you think or movies that we should do on the show, we would love to hear it. We really love any feedback.
Yeah, and if you want to watch Summer Camp Nightmare, you can find this piece of crap on YouTube.
Yeah, in fact, every movie we've done this month has been free on YouTube.
Actually, I should take that back. It is not a piece of crap.
Yeah.
It's okay. I think you can get through it. I think that if you wanted to watch it, watch it.
Okay.
That's it.
Yeah. So, like I was saying, thank you for listening. Sorry. And we appreciate you guys. And we'll be back next week. Every single Tuesday, talking trash. So thank you for listening again. Have a good one. Bye.
Rub-a-dub-dub. Thanks for the grub. Amen and hallelujah. Let's chow down.
Yeah!